Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 160, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, give ear unto my cry, and to my voice attend. Though far from home and from thy house, to thee my prayers ascend. 1 through 4 of Psalter 160.
Troubles, Lord.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, and thereof the 14th chapter and the first 14 verses. John 14, verses 1 through 14. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 14, verses 1 through 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, in that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Dustin Grisnick, who has come home from the hospital, and we see that Mr. DePuter also may be with us in this morning hour. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and holy God, who art dwelling between the cherubims, and thou who art magnified and exalted in that place where there is no more sin, where there is no evil, where all the motives are pure, where the desires are no longer carnal, but that all is heavenly, all is holy. And we are together in this world. We, thou knowest all things. We are filled ourselves with nothing but corruption and sin. And we cannot stand, not a single one of us, in thy holy sight, because we are from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And yet, in the commemoration of thy holy supper, then thou art dwelling in the midst of thy unholy church. Lord, thou dost give to us a picture of how that this is possible when in the midst of thy people are to be laid out the signs, the symbols of that broken body and that poured out blood, wherein it is made possible that thou, a holy, a righteous, and a just God, art able to dwell in the midst of a sinful, a corrupt, and a polluted people. Lord, thou knowest that we have of ourselves no or so little sense of thy greatness, of thy majesty, and of thy holiness. But we stand in this morning in a special way upon holy ground. Oh, that our hearts also may be prepared to stand so before thee, and that thou would wash away all of our many sins. Oh, how blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven, so it is possible that a sinful people may dwell in the presence of a holy God. Lord, when those tokens are set out before us, oh, that we may tremble from within ourselves, but that thou may give thy own people the liberty to draw near only upon that one foundation, oh, that they may be given an eye to look upon him in whom thou art so well pleased, and in whom that thou wilt receive a people who have rebelled and sinned against thee. Oh, what a wonder may be presented before us in this morning hour, thy own institution, to show unto us something of where that thou wast going, and how that a sinful creature may come into that place also. Oh, that thou may look then upon us, if that we are standing in thy sight on the outside of it. Oh, that thou may keep us, Lord, that thou may watch over thy own table in this morning, and that thy children, the bread of the children, may not be snatched by unholy hands, but that thou may keep away what does not belong. That is not our work, O Lord, that is thy work. But that thou would show in the midst of us that thou standest and that thou protectest thy own institution, and that thou would draw near hither the true sheep, all that thou may draw near hither the lambs of thy flock, those that are indeed made needy and poor by thy Holy Spirit, those who are not able to find in themselves anything, those who have been emptied by thee, oh, that thou may draw such ones, that they may come, oh, that they may receive freedom, that they may receive liberty. Lord, they cannot take it of themselves. All within they tremble before a holy God. But may thou open unto them the riches that are found in thy only begotten Son, and wilt thou show to them that pollution that is washed away, and that sin that is so freely forgiven in and through that suffering and death of thy only begotten Son. O Lord, wilt thou so go before us? The blessing is waiting from thy side. That is not from man to give, but it is alone to be given out of thy right hand. O, we beseech it of thee in this morning hour. Lord, remember all those that are afflicted, that are sick, and that are not able to be with us in this morning, when there may be desire, or when there is no desire, oh, that thou may heal the sick and weak bodies, and wilt thou give desire where there is none, wilt thou fulfill with thy presence upon thy Sabbath day in their own places that which thou hast given unto them. Remember the little child brought home again from the hospital. O Lord, affliction upon affliction in the life of this little child. O that thou who art the great and heavenly physician, may have mercy upon him, and that thou may heal him, Lord, that thou may give him strength and health. But wilt thou heal also his soul, strengthen his parents, or help them all together to bear up under this burden, and that that they may taste a little honey on the end of thy rod. Lord, remember him who was brought again home from the hospital, not only, but that thou hast given him the desire of his heart, that in this morning hour he may gather together with us in thy house of prayer, that thou mayest still further strengthen him. And could it please thee to visit him also from above in this day, and so go thou with us all together. Lord, we all need the same thing. Oh, we need it when we must administer. We need it when we must be administered unto. We need everything. Everything from thee. Oh, without thee we can do nothing. Oh, that thou then would strip us for the first or by renewal of all from our own side. And may thou be pleased to fill us and this thy holy house with thy presence, with thy spirit. Oh, that the cloud thereof may fill this place, and that our hearts may also be wrought upon, as it was even in that day of Pentecost, that there may be some also that may in this day see the blessedness of thy people, that they may consider in a saving way by thy Spirit their state and condition, that they will cry out to thee, what must I do? Oh, remember us, Lord. Care for us in the preaching and in the administration of thy sacrament. Strengthen and give clarity of our mind, that we may be enabled to explain, give the unction of thy Spirit, that we may be permitted to live it in a little, and that thou would not depart from us with thy presence. Be with all that will be brought to thy table. Lord, wilt thou supply for each and every one of thy own children, and do what is good in thy holy sight. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 243, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. In vision to his saints, God spake, from out the people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. Ordained, exalted, strong to save. The last collection today is for our school, Psalter 243, 1, 2, 3, and 5. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, John 14, and thereof the 8th verse. John 14, the 8th verse. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. So far, the words of our text. Philip's request to see the Father. First, this request presented. Second, this request answered. Philip's request to see the Father. First, this request presented. Second, this request answered. The church congregation does not very easily receive the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit. Not only Thomas needs to be taught just as a babe, but also we read here the same thing of Philip. We know that a mere intellectual knowledge, that is something that we may receive into our mind, that we may receive into our intellect, that we may memorize with our mind. But an experimental knowledge, that is a knowledge that needs to find a place in our life, that is a knowledge that needs to find a place within our heart. And that experimental knowledge, unlike a mere intellectual knowledge, that experimental knowledge is not able to bear a contradiction. Thus, the things that it sees in its life, they must go along, they must fit with this experimental knowledge. And when there is some kind of a contradiction, then the soul that has a question about what it sees, about what it knows. And so that is also here, was so with Thomas, as we have heard, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And now the Lord Jesus is giving Thomas an answer, and while the Lord Jesus is answering Thomas, then we read of Philip. He also comes with a question. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Thomas and Philip may be commended. Are you also children, young people? Are you also like this, Thomas and Philip? What are they doing? Oh, when the Lord Jesus is speaking, they are not sleeping. No, but what are they doing? They are listening so very, very carefully. And they are seeking for something. They are seeking for knowledge. They are seeking for understanding. That is seen by us. They seek this in a very real way. Is that also what we do? Where do they seek that knowledge and understanding from? Oh, they seek it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there any better place in this whole world to seek knowledge and understanding than from that great prophet who is himself all-knowing God and who is able to bring his instruction even into our very heart? And then we hear how that they are seeking this instruction. Lord, Philip says, oh, he comes to the Lord Jesus in such a humble way. Lord, he acknowledges who he is, the Lord. Oh, if the Lord will not give it to me, he is right. But Lord, wilt thou instruct me? Wilt thou teach me, because I am so ignorant? And they are now great matters, very great matters, that Philip is bringing before the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of matters are great matters? They are religious matters. Yes, that's true. They are the greatest matters, the religious matters. But then within religious things, then there are also some things that are more, that are the most important, and they are the spiritual things. The spiritual things within religion. And then of all of those spiritual things, what do we read here? Oh, then we read here that Philip, he is speaking about that thing which is so very, very essential for the comfort of his own heart. And then he speaks here of the most necessary spiritual things. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Oh, here is a question that is belonging unto that true church of God. Is that also a question that is living in our own heart, a desire that is living in our own heart? How is it that Philip comes now to this question that was not just of himself? No, but this question that has been provoked. It did not come out of his own mind, but that is a question that has come from the Lord himself, because the Lord, as it is experienced in the life of his people, the Lord is the Alpha. The Lord is the first one, and that is not only the first time, but the Lord is the first one time and time again. And then it is not only an answer to prayer, but it is even the giving of that prayer, the giving, the planting of that desire. And that needs to come from the Lord himself. And so we hear the provoking of this question by the Lord himself. What had the Lord said unto them? The Lord had said to them, ye believe in God. And now what does the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He says something else. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thus, the Lord Jesus does not only speak about God, but the Lord Jesus now speaks also about the Father. He has spoken about his Father. He has spoken about my Father, he says. But now we read that the Lord Jesus, he speaks about the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When the Lord Jesus speaks so, then he strikes a chord, as it were, in that heart of Philip. When Philip may hear the Lord Jesus speak about the Father and about coming to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father. Then there is something of a burning that is in that heart of Philip. To come unto the Father. What a thing is this? Or do you understand something also of what is lying, what is burning there in that heart of Philip? How great is this Master? this matter. Not only to come unto God, but to come unto the Father. Because this word, Father, that is a word that expresses a relationship. It expresses a very precious relationship. And why? For congregation, a father does not condemn his son. No, to condemn, that is not the work of a father. To condemn, that is the work of a judge. If that were the work of a father, then the prodigal son, he would not dare to approach unto his father again. Because there was nothing in his life but guilt and sin and transgression against his father. Thus, what a precious relation between a father and a son. When a son receives the rod from his father, then it is not to his destruction. No, but when a son receives the rod, then it is for his correction, then it is for his profit, then it is for his good. Thus, to know that I am a son, and then every rod, every trial, every persecution, every affliction, then that is not a foreboding of an eternal punishment. No, but that is the mercy of a father, a precious relation. A father does not forsake his child. No, even though that child has forsaken him days without number, a father continues to love his child. Even though his child has transgressed against him, sinned against him, even though his child has stepped on his very heart, oh, then that love of the father for his child, that cannot be taken away. Why not? Because it is his son. A child. He is under the tender care of his father. We sing that sometimes, children, the tender love a father has for all his children dear. Such love the Lord bestows on them who worship Him in fear. A tender love of a father. The Lord Jesus said to His disciples, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Why not? Because of that relation between the father and his son to care for his children. A father communes with his son. He tells his son the things that are lying in his heart. He reveals by times the secrets of his thoughts unto his own child. A child dwells with his father. A father has him in his own communion, in his own dwelling. They may dwell together. A father gives his whole inheritance to whom he gives it unto his children. Everything that he has, every blessing, that is for his child. Oh, is it any wonder that when Philip hears of this name Father and of coming unto the Father, that Philip, oh, we say There cannot be a contradiction in the life, in the learning, in the instruction, in the life of that people. Then he says, "Oh Lord, show us the Father." Oh, is that not then the desire of that living church? Is that not then such a consolation for that church? Oh, that they may see God in that blessed relation of a father unto a son also for themselves. Oh, is it not the greatest wonder? Is it not the greatest desire that that church may hear from the mouth of the Lord, "I will be to you a father, and you shall be my son"? Lord, show us the Father. Or is it not pleasing in the sight of the Lord when his children have a desire that they may know him as Father, and that they may live day by day out of him, in dependence upon him, looking unto him, trusting in him as a father? Lord, show us the Father. And yet, Philip errs. Philip makes a mistake. What is that mistake? That is in the manner, that is in the way that Philip desires here to see the Father. The Lord Jesus had said to them, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." But this was not enough for Philip. No, Philip wanted to see the Father in a different way. "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." All the carnality that is lying in that church, in the heart of that church of God, that is so very, very great. That church is so of the earth, earthy, that even those things, those most precious things that the Lord is revealing and showing unto his church, they are often interpreted in such a carnal manner. Oh, that is their infirmity, that they lack that heavenly mindedness that is required of them in this life. Oh, to know and to see by faith, that is not sufficient for the carnal man. No, it is only suitable unto that new man. And the Lord, he will not give the request of that carnal heart of the people. No, the Lord Jesus is going to lead his people in his own way, and they are going to experience that way he leads them, though he does not answer their requests as they desire it, as they think it ought to be answered. Oh, they are going to experience that when he answers their own request in his own way, that this is now the best way. He will give them more. He will give them better than all they ask, because all that is carnal, that is passing away, but what is spiritual, that is now forever. And we see that in our second thought, Philip's request to see the Father answered. "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Thus, the carnality of that church, that is also the grief of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not carnal. No, the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in him and was dwelling in him also when he was on the earth without measure. The carnality, and not only the carnality, but also the ignorance of the church is his grief. And it is worthy of reproof. But we see how tender and that the Lord Jesus Christ is with his people. Have I been so long time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? Oh, he was under the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so it is in the midst of that church of God. That is the way that they may receive spiritual knowledge. And Philip, he has been in the presence of the Lord Jesus longer than most of the disciples. Thus we would say he should have been the one who was one of the most experienced ones. The Lord Jesus has shown who he was. He has told them who he was with his mouth in his doctrine. But he has also given example of who he was. He has shown them with his works, with his miracles. And yet, oh, how little. What a little measure of knowledge and a little measure of faith was lying in the heart of his disciples. The church may be under that instruction for a long time, and yet they are so ignorant. They are not so much different here than Thomas and of Philip. Everything that the Lord will manifest, that the Lord will teach his church, he must first give a place in their heart to receive it. That is now the work of the Holy Spirit. Thus he has much work to do. It is not only to speak, because he can speak many words, and he has spoken many words to his disciples. But all those words, they find no place in the heart of a man unless the Lord first comes to make room for that word in his heart. Oh, thus everything has to come from the side of the Lord. Hast thou not known me, Philip? Oh, yes, Philip, you have known me. Whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Oh, you have seen something of it. Yes, you know me. But do you know me, Philip, as you ought to know me? Oh, your knowledge of me, Philip, that remains so small. How sayest thou, show us the Father? How is it thou askest now such a question after I've been with you now such a long time, Philip? How sayest thou, show us the Father? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. If you had known me rightly, if you had known me in the way that you ought to know me, you should have known my Father also. And why? Well, because I am one in essence with my Father. Because I am the express image of my Father. When you have seen the Son, you have also seen the Father in his express image as he has revealed himself unto his church in this world. You know the Father. Why? Because you know the Son. It is in the Son that the Father is savingly known, and only in the Son. How sayest thou, Philip, show us the Father? Do you want to see the Father, Philip, with your bodily eyes? Do you want to see the Father in a carnal way? That is not possible, Philip, because he is a spirit. He has no body like you and I have. No, he is a spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Or will you see the Father as a carnal man, Philip? No man can see him and live. No, because the Father is so very holy. The knowledge of the Father by the creation, that you may know something of the Father as the Creator, the Father of the creation of this world. That is a knowledge of the Father, Philip, that is imperfect. You may see something of him in the design in this world, how that the world was made. in the beauty of this world. But that is not a saving knowledge of the Father. Oh, Philip, you may see and know something of the Father by His law. You may know something of the Father by the covenant of works in which you have been born. But what will you only know of the Father? All you will only know of His wrath. You will only know of His just displeasure. You will not know Him anymore in that blessed relation of a Father, no, because He has only now become your judge. But now, Philip, he that hath seen Me, he that hath seen My blood, oh, he hath seen the justice of that judge satisfied. Oh, Philip, he that hath seen My obedience, My active and My passive obedience by an eye of faith, oh, he has seen something of how that requirement of the law of God that has been so completely fulfilled in Me. He that hath seen Me, Philip, hath seen the Father. Oh, he that hath seen Me hath seen the Father in His mercy. He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father in His grace unto a wretched and a miserable and a hell-worthy creature. Oh, he that hath seen Me hath seen the good pleasure of the Father in the salvation of His elect. He that hath seen Me, Philip, oh, he that hath seen the smallest part of Me, he unto whom I have been revealed by that Holy Spirit, he may see the Father in His love. In His love toward a rebellious creature, one who has gone away from Him, who had no desire anymore for the knowledge of His ways, who had left Him in his father Adam, and who will never return unto Him again. Oh, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Oh, to know Me rightly. That is the sum of all the knowledge of salvation. Oh, that is the sum of the knowledge of God. That is the sum of that knowledge of the way unto God, of that happiness that there is to have with Him as Father. Oh, he that hath seen Me hath seen then that I am all in all. You cannot know the Father outside of Me. And, oh, you do not yet know Me rightly. You do not know Me yet fully if you have not yet seen the Father in Me. And from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. You knew Him before, yes. Whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. But your faith and your knowledge, that was so small. That is so imperfect. Oh, you have seen through a glass. You have seen darkly. But now, he says, I instruct you. And I instruct you in a more perfect way. I reveal to you the Father within Myself. Oh, that your knowledge of Him, that your faith in Him through Me may be made perfect. Oh, how much is not contained, congregation, in the Son of God. There is more in that Son than the Church of God will ever be able to know of Him in this world, with their imperfect sight and with their imperfect knowledge. Oh, in Him is an excellency. In Him is a preciousness. In Him, he says, is a clear view, all not only of Himself, but in Him is a clear view, he says, of My Father. And now, to whom is He revealed in His Son? Oh, he is revealed in his Son to those who desire him. Oh, in whom the Lord has planted that desire. Oh, that to say with Philip, Lord, show us the Father. Oh, there are so many people in the world. And then they speak about the knowledge of Christ. But congregation, this is all. And when this is all, then it is not right. Then the beginning is not right. Because the beginning is not with him, and the end is not with him. But the beginning is with God as our judge, and the end, that is, with God as our Father. And therefore, when it is right, oh, then there is a church that is looking, that is longing, that they may see not only the Son, but they may be given also to see the Father. And these are they to whom he will reveal himself, because, oh, that is a cry which is according to his own will. And he says, he that asketh, receiveth. And now that is the reason that the Lord is giving these holy sacraments. That is the reason that the Lord is giving this holy supper in this day. He knoweth, we read in the Word of God, he knoweth the frame of his people. What does he know? That they are but dust. What does he know? That they are but carnal. And he will give them, as carnal, as earthly creatures, he will give them help to that faith. Oh, not that they would end in that bread and wine, but that in that bread and wine they may be given to see the Son, and that in the Son that they may be given to look further even to see the Father. Oh, to see how it is possible that a wretched and an undeserving sinner may be received again in that blessed communion with that triune God. Oh, is it not a wonder that these tokens, they are sitting in the midst of a sinful people in this church, in this day. The holy things of the Most High God, they are here, congregation, in our midst. And the Lord gives them in our midst, set apart as these holy things. Oh, how is that only possible? Oh, that is only possible through what these holy things do signify. And that is that precious broken body and that poured out blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in the Lord, he may give that eye of faith to see. Oh, then it is that they may know something. Then they receive knowledge in that sight. Because faith, that is substance. And it is evidence. It is the substance of things hoped for. That is the evidence of things that are not seen. And we cannot see the Father. No, he is a spirit. We cannot even see Christ, because he dwells with his Father. But these tokens he has left behind. And when faith may see through these tokens, oh, then faith may see something and have evidence of something that the eyes are not able to see. Oh, may the Lord give that people may be given the desire of their heart. The desire of the heart of that people is not that they may come unto the holy supper of the Lord. No. No, the desire of that heart of the people is that by faith, that they may be given a sight to see the Son, and that through that sight of that Son, that they may see the Father, and that they may be reunited unto the Father once again as His Son. And if it would please the Lord to rather have them sit in their seat on this day, that He would show it to them there, then they would be willing. Then they would be willing. But this is not the way of the Lord. No, the Lord says to come and to show forth then my death till I come, that I may give you this sight, not only of myself, but that I may give you in me a sight also of the Father. Amen. We will now read the form for the administration of the Holy Supper, which you can find on page 60 or 136 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary first rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely to His remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before Him. as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints and angels or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all they who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. But on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are by the grace of the Holy Spirit sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, and that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, in both body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally, confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, and for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross, and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death, he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love. As the holy apostle saith, for we being many are one bread and one body, and for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together. So shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. that we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore His grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood, yea, with Him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but He in us, and we in Him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, never more imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also Thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted hands expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as it is in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of His heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting. But we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with His body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. While the table is being prepared, And we ask you to sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1 through 4. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee, my spirit thirsts, thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. 1 through 4 of 164.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, once again, a week of examination lies behind us, as is necessary and proper for a celebration of the Holy Supper of the Lord. And now this table that has been prepared, we read in God's Word that of the institution of that table, and then there were two questions. Lord, is it I? Master, is it I? Two questions that sounded so very similar, but which were so very different. Came out of a different heart, had a very different purpose. One, to cover. The other, to uncover. And now the Lord knows our hearts and all that lies within us. How bold is an hypocrite? Master, is it I? Oh, how timid is that true people of the Lord. And they tremble. Lord, is it I? This is known between you and the Lord. But the marks, they are clear in the Word of God. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Whither I go, oh, do you know something of whither he went? Is there now a people who are not strangers of whither he went, to whom he went? When he went unto God, a people who also desire that they may be reconciled unto that same God, a people who are not strangers in this sense of their Maker, of their Creator, a people for whom the missing of Him is the burden over which they go in this life without God. In this world, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Oh, are there thus also some of you who are not strangers of that way? Oh, not a way wherein the law could bring you to him, but that you must say that I have seen something. Oh, be it the smallest part, something revealed to my soul in all the impossibility of my way, and ever returning again unto that blessed communion of my Maker in all my impossibility, with all my guilt and with all my sin, then I cannot deny that the Lord has opened something of that new and that living way, a way of free and sovereign grace, that I may see it all, even but in its beginnings. And then the Lord, he does invite you unto his table. No, it is not the highest knowledge, but it is the beginning of that knowledge of that true salvation, wherein man in and through the Son will be reconciled again unto God. Congregation, are there no more that by the command of the Lord, with such a testimony, desire to show forth his death until he come? And then we will close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out for a complete remission of all our sins. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. It is not our word, but we may stand here today with a commission, of him who spoke these words unto his own. Believest thou not? To whom did he speak? He spake unto his own church. He spake unto his own disciples. Believest thou not? Oh, what a hard thing is faith. His disciples did not have faith in their pocket. They couldn't take it for themselves. No, that is the reason why that he has instituted this very supper. Because he understood how difficult a thing that faith is. Believest thou not? And that thing that he would say to them is not something that they could receive with their natural mind, with their intellect, but it was a doctrine that was necessary to be received by faith. Believest thou not? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? That is the doctrine. What a doctrine. What an important doctrine. What a precious doctrine that he would instruct his own disciples in. A doctrine that is really at the heart of the salvation of his church. The unity in the essence between the Father and the Son. That they are in themselves one and that same God in two different persons. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Thus, the Lord knows of their fall. They have lost the knowledge of him, of that true and that living God. Did they know him? Oh, yes, they knew him. They knew whither he went. And they knew something of that way. But that knowledge, that was still so small. And he will instruct them in who he is, that he and the Father, they are one. And that is now so necessary for the salvation of his church. Why? Because these are the objects of their faith. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these are they in whom they must believe. Then they must know who that they are. They must know what their character is. Then he says, we are one, all together one. You see me in my humiliation. You see me wherein I have left behind the greatest show of my divinity. But what your eyes see, what the truth is, they are not now the same. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Thus Christ, he was not speaking these words on his own behalf. Even Christ spoke not of himself, but he spoke at the authority of his Father, that his Father gave him to speak those words. Thus, we see something even in the words of Christ, that of that proof of his doctrine, he and the Father being one. And now even further, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Many works have been seen. The works which showed something of the fact that he is in the Father and the Father in him. And that is, that he was divine. Many works he did. And when he raised the dead, and when he cured the sick, and when he showed something of his divine power, what does he say? Those works, they are not from me. No, it is the Father. He is dwelling in me. And the Father, he is doing the works. Believe me. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Believe my word. Believe it because I say it. Believe it because I am God. Believe it because I cannot lie. Believe it because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Believe me. Oh, what a difficult thing is faith. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else,
or else. He says, if you cannot believe me, oh, how he takes care of his people. Or else, if you cannot believe my words, if it is now too high for you to believe what I say, oh, then or else, believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me because you have seen what the Father has done in me. Believe me because I have given you tokens in this world for your natural, for your carnal eyes, that they may see, in order that you may believe that indeed that I am not just a mere man, no, but that I am the Son of God, and that the Father dwelleth in me and I in him. Tokens for what? For the infirmity, for the flesh of a people who are still living in the world, carnal people of the earth, earthy, and when faith, that is such a very difficult thing. And now what does he set before his disciples? In his broken bread and poured out wine. Oh, then he gives them tokens. And he shows to them, and he declares to them, as he that cannot lie, that these are pictures of his broken body and of his poured out blood, not only, but that he says, I have done it for you. And you take it, and with your mouth you eat it, and it becomes part of you. Thus, that I do dwell in you with my Holy Spirit, and not only I dwelling in you, but the Father dwelling in me and I in him. All tokens. Tokens that they may believe that they are partakers of the body and blood of Christ. And that in him they are partakers not only of him, but also of his Father. Oh, does this not go back? Does this not go back to the very, very beginning in your life? Does it not go back to the first moment of regeneration? Does this not go back to the first desires planted in your soul that you may be reconciled unto God again? And now he shows something. And he brings this all together in the tokens that he may be in help to such earthly and carnal people as his children will be unto the end of the world. Then he says, what lives in your heart? Do you love me? Oh, why do you love me? Because you are loved by me. We love him because he first loved us. Thus, when you love me, it is because I loved you. And I am in my Father, and my Father in me. Thus, you love me because I love you. And my Father also loves you. Oh, what depth is there in the consolations of the blessed mediator that he sets before his church in the tokens, in the works of his divinity, in the tokens given in this world for the infirmity of their flesh. Oh, may the Lord then give that while we are still here below, something of this faith may be given to go out to him, and that it may find its final rest, not in him, but in the Father. Let us sing from Psalter 444, stanzas 2 and 5.
444, stanza 2 and 5. O bless the Lord, who all thy need supplieth. Thy soul with good he fully satisfieth. And like the eagles, he renews thy youth. And what follows in 2 and 4, 2 and 5 of Psalter 444.
Supply.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his only Son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore, God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal. And that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 250 in the first two stanzas. How good it is to thank the Lord and praise to thee in most high accord, to show thy love with morning light, and tell thy faithfulness each night. Yea, good it is thy praise to sing, and all our sweetest music bring. 1 and 2 of 250. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.